Welcome to the Learning Exchange, where L&D and HR professionals can dig deep into the ever-changing landscape of online learning and talent development. Each episode, we'll explore innovations in learning and discuss best practices with special guests from inside and outside the learning world. L&D is evolving, and the Learning Exchange is here to help you keep pace.
Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of the Learning Exchange. Today, I would like to talk a little bit about preparedness as you engage with vendors and other solution providers to augment your learning strategies and your learning activities. Now, what I'm talking about at its core starts really at the very beginning when you are identifying a need in your organization. That need may sound something like, hey, learning team, what are we doing to bring in learning technology? Hey, learning team, we're not digital with our training. We need to be digital. It could sound a variety of ways, but generally, the organization has signaled that it's ready. It wants to go forward and engage with vendors or third parties, people outside the organization, to really help further the strategy and further the delivery of learning. Now, as someone who has been in that seat, having had to reach out and engage vendors and really understand what are all the solutions available that might meet my needs or the particular challenges I'm trying to solve, and then trying to put them all together side by side and make sense of who really is best aligned. One of the things that I have seen time and time again in organizations, both places where I've worked and also as I've been on the receiving end of customers and potential customers bringing things to us at Skooks, is this experience in which people can get too focused on the time and the budget aspects, which forces them to maybe speed through some really critical steps that could make all the difference in their success, both short-term and long-term. In some cases, it may be there's a pain. Oh my goodness, we don't have anything digital to help our learning strategy. Go get that right now. Fire, go put out the fire. And that should create a sense of urgency. But we shouldn't jump past some of the necessary steps if we really, really are trying to set ourselves up for success long term. And you know, one of the ways I've seen this evidenced is in the request for proposal, the RFP motion. I think we all have likely been able to get our hands on some template for an RFP. It's entirely possible you may have had one that served you really well at an organization and you've just managed to bring that one with you everywhere you go. Not saying don't do that. I'm just saying watch out for the thing that happens very often, which is we move into this speed focus. It's about the time. It's about trying to make sure we do it within the budget we have, that we sometimes don't provide all the necessary information, or we don't stop and identify where we do and don't know what we do and don't know. In some cases, right, I may not know what tomorrow holds and where we're trying to drive. I just know that I need this piece of technology to be integrated into my strategy in some way. When I see an RFP that is one of the templatized RFPs, where it has not been personalized, it has not been tailored, it is just something that came, it's very, very stock, and everything is very generic. What I struggle with is how to help a prospective customer understand the value and the importance of making the effort or raising your hand to signal internally. Maybe it's not about a lack of desire to take that step, but rather signal to the organization, whoa, we do need to pause for an hour. We need to pause for a day. Maybe it's a week so that we can get all of our information together. We can document what it is we truly know and what we don't know. We can identify what we have aligned to in our organization and what we know that our culture will tolerate, what we know that our culture will not tolerate. But being able to really just put that personalization on the experience, the benefits are too many to really list. I think just the immediate, more obvious benefit is that when we take the time to really document this, our goals, our objectives, our what it is we're trying to solve, why we are trying to solve it, what really matters to our organization. It helps us move into that conversation with a vendor or potential partner in a very effective way, because we're coming to the table saying, here's who we are, here's who we're not. Here's what we know that we need, and here's all the stuff that we don't really know. Think of how much time that could save, both for you having to go through and understand what parts of the system or what parts of the solution might be aligned and which things may be just noise. It allows your potential vendors or vendor partners to also come to the table more effectively. As an example, if we showed up to the meeting, you've sent out an RFP. It's a very standard, generic RFP that has not been tailored in any way towards your company. You send that out to me, and I look at the list of all of the items, and I say, well, technically, yep, we do that, we do that, we do that. Nope, we don't do that. We do this. I send that back to you. And based on that and that alone determines if I get through the gate, if I get in the door to have a conversation or not. When we get to that step where we're having a conversation, it is still possible that even though I checked yes to all of the things, that when we put those things in context of what your actual objectives are with what your culture and your organizational learning strategy is, we may find that all of those yeses become no's, or all of those yeses become yes, but. And then it kind of puts the onus back on you to really rethink how much of your process do you need to go back and upend and reimagine and reinvent? How much of what you're doing can stay as is? And it just kind of goes back and forth. And so you end up, you know, setting both sides up for failure. I would love to know that every time I show up to a conversation with a prospective vendor or partner, that they're showing up and we both are coming into that conversation knowing what we are, what we're not, what we will do, what we won't do relative to the shared problem we're here to discuss. We can be very effective. We can be very efficient in that together. And it may even result in getting some good tips and best practices and ideas on how to advance things further on your end, where it may not fully, like you may not need the provider or the vendor yet. And in some instances, I have been on the receiving end of this. I have been on the delivering end of this, where a solution is adopted and it is perceived to be too big or too small or too flexible or too inflexible, ultimately, which leads to a bad experience. It leads to a misunderstanding, which creates confusion, which creates a belief that may or may not be correct about the reality. An example of that could be that I check the box and say that my system does all the things you had on that list. We show up to a conversation and we discuss it, and you don't bring any of that extra context that tells me not only do you need to deliver courses, but you need to deliver courses that are dynamic, that will understand the language needs and preferences of your audience, and that will also adapt based on their level of skill, their level of knowledge, or some other factor. So the first thing is, I need you to manage courses, is very different than the second thing, which is, I need you to manage courses that also have all these other conditions and potential scenarios. Just thinking about taking the time up front to really stop and document what you know and what you don't know saves so much time in the end. Kind of speaking to that part of what we don't know, I can guess that maybe if you're listening, you're saying, well, how do I know what I don't know? And why would I tell someone what I don't know? I think for the same reasons that you would tell them what you do know, it helps really anchor in context and give valuable insight that helps us be very effective in our meetings and our collaboration and our journey together. Being able to show up and, you know, deliver some information that helps maybe understand, I don't know if we will ever adopt mobile in my company. I don't know if we will ever adopt virtual learning in my company, as examples. can open up a conversation with your vendor or your partner to really explore maybe why you believe that to be the case, what are some things that you could do that would help you better understand if those things might change, and more importantly, when they might change, can change a lot about the conversation up front and how the journey goes. Imagine checking the box again for all of that feature functionality. It's kind of a standard list with no context. And then showing up to your implementation and implementing, getting to the end of implementation, getting everybody really excited about this new thing that you're doing, only to have it all go sideways and not have it work whatsoever after about 2 months or 3 months. So just long enough for people to settle in and really start to put it through some activity before you start to see where things might have fallen through the cracks. Again, it's really just a bigger, I think, challenge for us to hold our organizations accountable, really being truth tellers to ourselves. When your business applies pressure or signals, we need to go do that thing, we need to go make that purchase, we need to go explore this option, and we need to do it yesterday, we can do that. But we also need to make sure we're taking the time and the care to set everybody up for success. The last thing you want is to use your one chance for a first impression with your learning population only to have it go off the rails. You do get a second chance and a third chance. It just takes a lot more effort and a lot more time to really rebuild trust and reconnect in a way that drives engagement and adoption.